Turn in your Bible to James chapter number 1. Boy, there's something about men singing to the glory of God. Wow, what a blessing. And singing truth, by the way. Praise the Lord. James chapter number 1. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 17. Verse number 17. I'm going to read down through verse number 21, and then we'll pick up some more verses later, but I want you to read with me there if you would. Read along with me, chapter 1, verse number 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We sang about that in one of our songs just a bit ago. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Let's preach today and study today on that phrase in verse number 17, the Father of lights. The Father of lights. Father in heaven, would you help me to glorify thy name, thy attributes. Lord, thank you so much for who and what you are. I find great confidence and security in knowing who and what you are. This morning I pray in Jesus' name that you would help the saints of God to look unto you, the author and finisher of their faith. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about our Heavenly Father over 40 times in the Gospels. Sometimes he would use the term, my Father. Sometimes he would use the term, our Father. And occasionally he would use the term, your Father. I hope this morning that you can say, by faith, that God is your Father. I want you to notice how James describes him here. Not only does he describe him, but he lays out what the Father has in expectations from us. Sometimes people are disappointed in their fathers. Some fathers are disappointed in their children, because they have expectations that are not realistic and cannot be achieved. But our Heavenly Father, I want you to know a little bit about him. Because you know, there's quite a few people that can say, I don't really know my Father, or didn't get a chance to know my Father. But can I say to you that you can know your Heavenly Father? Amen. That there are some things written about him, and you need to know him. And the more you know about him, the more you're going to love him. And the more you know about him, the more you will find peace and comfort. You'll notice here in verse number 17, James could have called him a lot of things. But here he chooses to call him the Father of lights. But notice in verse 17 how he starts out with this, Brother Brian. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father. What does that tell you about our Heavenly Father? It tells you that he is a giver. He's not a taker, he's a giver. He's not a consumer, he's a producer. Oh, man, I would like to be like that as a father. I'd like to always be able to give to my children something. I'd like to always be able to give what God the Father gives. I'd like to give them good things. Because some of the things they want are not good, so in wisdom I don't. But he says every good gift and every perfect gift. So our Heavenly Father is a giver, a provider. And you know what, I use this a lot when I'm talking to God the Father, when I'm praying to Him, Brother Lorne. I remember what Jesus said. He said, if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things unto them that ask Him? My Heavenly Father wants to give things to me. Matter of fact, the book of James is filled with asking and praying to the Father. And when he says here in verse number 17 that the Heavenly Father gives good gifts, and he says every perfect gift. How many perfect gifts do you know? I know you try to sometimes satisfy your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, and you go and you get them something, and I've always considered an Academy card a pretty good gift. Because there's so many things you can take that card in and get with that card. But it's not the perfect gift. Because there are things that would bring joy to my heart that can't be purchased. Can't be purchased, and Academy certainly can't provide it. But he says every perfect gift. He says, by the way, every perfect gift you can't get down here. Every perfect gift comes from above. It's from above. One of those would be the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you know the Holy Spirit is also a gift from God into your heart? The earnest of your redemption has been placed into your heart. And God gives us other things, that perfect peace of God for everyday life. I love that from the Father. But I want you to notice, that's one of the traits of the Father. But you'll notice he says, he's the Father of lights. He doesn't call him here the Father of gifts, but he gives. And he doesn't even call him the Father of love, though he is love. He calls him the Father of lights, plural. Now, you know, it says in other places, God is light. Cannot help but be light, and kind is to beget kind. You understand? Cows don't produce chickens. And when God produces one of His children, we are to be also light. Now watch what He says. The Father of lights. He says, which is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now that simply means that God will provide you security in trusting Him because He never changes. He is immutable. He is dependable. He is consistent. Man, I sure want to be like that. I come so short of that, but I want to be like that to my family. I want to be, when we say no variableness and never changing, that doesn't mean, see, God doesn't need to change, but I do, because I need to grow. Amen? But I do want to be dependable and consistent. Did you know this thing about Him being light? There's something about light, about God, that He's brighter than any light that man can ever imagine. And as a matter of fact, it says that He is so bright that man cannot approach unto Him in these mortal bodies. That God is so bright. Here's what Paul said. He's the only potentate, King of kings, Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach. Did you know He is so bright that when the Antichrist comes on the scene and attempts to set up his kingdom and thinks that he will undo what God has done, that all the Lord Jesus Christ has to do is show up and destroy him with the brightness of His coming. How about that? But you'll notice here He says in verse 18, it says, of His own will begat He us. That word begat, that's the matter of being born, of God producing us, God giving us the new birth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Do you believe that? Now, you've got your Bibles open. Turn a few pages over, just a couple of pages over to your right. And look in 1 Peter chapter number 1, but keep your hand right there because we're going to study this passage that we're looking at here and let the word of God speak for itself. But look in 1 Peter chapter 1, look in verse number 18. Now listen, when he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, it is our Father who initiated the plan of redemption, that we could be reconciled unto him. And not only reconciled, but through the power of God, regenerated and changed by the power of God. In other words, James is saying, no one coerced God, and no group of angels got around him and said, Lord, you know, you really ought to have pity upon this creature that you put on planet Earth. The Bible teaches us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, but it was the love of God who initiated this. And the Bible says here in 1 Peter 1, notice what he says about this. Look at verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, your redemption was not with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. He says, but rather, he said, it's with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and me, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. I'm going to ask you this morning, have you purified your soul by obeying the truth? Amen. Through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, being born again. Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Is there a place and time in your life where you have received the truth of Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Being born again, that's his begatting. That's where he begat us. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He sent the word of God across our path, revealed to us what we were and what he could do for us. Go back to James chapter number 1 because I need to hurry here. There's so much in this passage. I could preach on it for weeks with the Lord's help. I couldn't preach on it 5 minutes without his help. I hope you understand that. James chapter 1, but in verse number 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. It was the Bible that came into my life, the word of God that pierced my heart, that showed me who I was and what he was. Of his own will begat he us. You remember what he said in John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God, even them that believe upon his. But he goes on to say, in that passage that verifies verse number 18, of his own will in John 1:13, he says, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Of God initiated this. I want you to understand that. God sent the perfect gift, his son. Verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. In other words, we all got saved the same way, through the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, I want to get to the heart of my message this morning, is that he is the Father of lights. And he is, hopefully, your heavenly Father. And I want you to look in verse 18, of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits. The first fruits are always the best. Should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He said, well, I'm not a creature. Excuse me. Did you create yourself? I think that you are a creature. And when you think about creature, you think about animal, don't you? But God is your creator, and you have been created in his likeness. Man has fallen and cursed that likeness. Your new birth is to restore that. And now you are the first fruits of his creatures. And you and I, as his sons and daughters, are to reflect our Father. And we are to be sons of light in a dark world. In other words, God has got stars planted all over the earth, not just in the sky, but also on the planet. You are a light. God has placed you in a dark place. Now watch. He says that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are to be lights in this world. Listen to this passage. Listen to the Bible, how it harmonizes with itself. If any man be in Christ, he is a new what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All right, then Paul said this. You and I, as his creatures, his sons and daughters, we are to be, number one, blameless, like your father, harmless, like your father, the sons of God and daughters of God, without rebuke, like your father, and right smack dab in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you are to shine as lights in the world, the Father of lights. You and I are to be lights. Now watch, look in James chapter 1. Now because of this, God saved us. He is light. God saved us, made us creatures of light. We are his sons of light. We are to be light in a dark place. And he says in verse 19 now, he says, wherefore? Wherefore? For this purpose, for this cause, because you are lights. You need to let your light shine. How many of you kids know that song? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, no. I'm going to let it shine. God does not want you under a bushel. And he doesn't want you to have a dirty globe over your light. And he doesn't want you to have a low battery. He wants you to shine. Now some of you, you want to be in a room full of lights all the time. And God says, no, I'm going to put you in a place where there will be some darkness so that you may shine. All right, now notice, he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, we are beloved brethren. He said, let every man, every single one of us in here, he says, now listen, let's rub some dirt off that globe. He said, wherefore? He said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I read this quote. It said, lead with your ears. Follow up with your tongue, and let anger always straggle way behind. And I agree with that. And the Bible says here that you need to learn to listen more than you talk. If you want to shine, did you know that light does not make noise? And some of you think that you'll be heard and people be impressed by your much speaking. And God says, I didn't say you were a bell, I said you were a light. And you know an empty wagon rattles the loudest anyway. God wants you to be light. You're always thinking that you've got to have something to say. The Bible says you need to have something to say when you're asked a question. I got a watch. You want me to go around with you all day and tell you what time it is? I'm talking about every 3 minutes I'm going to tell you, Brother Brad, I'm going to tell you what time it is. No matter where you go, I'm going to tell you what time it is. Or would you rather me wait till you say, Brother Roger, will you tell me what time it is? Because you want to know, right? And if you would be liked, there's going to be some people look at you and say, you know what, I need to ask you a question. What do you think about this? And when they open that door, what a blessing that is. But how can they do that if you're talking all the time? Amen, Brother Roger. Slow to speak. He didn't say slow of speech. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Boy, I'll tell you what, that anger gets you in big trouble in a hurry, and this is the one that really dims your light in your home and in your church and where you work, is your temper, your anger. It'll put a shade over your light quickly, and God has designed you to be a child of light. You know what about the Lord? The Bible says that He is slow to anger. Did you know that? He's slow to anger, quick to forgive. We're opposite of that. We're quick to anger, and we're slow to forgive. That's not a light. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and God says, I want you to be my child of light. Now, read on. He said in verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Your anger, your frustration, your agitations, he says, this never produces what you desire. It never helps the person that you're trying to lead or change. Being mad and angry does not produce what you want in the process. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. All right, now here's, then he got another wherefore. And he's really rubbing our globe pretty good here, isn't he? And he says in verse number 21, wherefore? He says, lay apart all filthiness. Now this right here, this part right here in verse number 21 is necessary in order for you to recharge your battery and receive what God has for you and also to deliver you. Now watch what he says. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive. You see, you gotta lay aside some things in order to get this battery charged up. And receive with meekness, there it is, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That means deliver your soul. That means to help you to grow and mature and deliver you from some things that are going on in your life. Let's explain that verse for just a moment. What does that all that mean? Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. Because James knew that you would not be receiving with meekness into your heart what the preacher is saying if this stuff above this is going on inside your heart. He knows that. What is that stuff? Well, let me give you a couple of biblical illustrations of this. Elisha went into a city. The men approached him one day and said, boy, this is a pleasant city, but we've got a problem. He said, we've got a water supply. And he said, it's naught. And that word naught and naughty is used a couple of times in the Old Testament, and it's never good. And you know what it's always connected to? Something that is nasty and bitter. He said, we got water supply, but it's bitter tasting. It's naught. He said, we can't drink it. And bitterness will keep you this morning from receiving what God has for you so that you can recharge your battery by receiving the Word of God, because meekness and humility is the opposite of that. There's another place. Jeremiah said, we got a couple of baskets of figs here. He said, we got one over here that's good, and we got one over here that's naughty. See, when you say, well, he's a naughty child, you need to quit saying that. Because you're referring to that child as being evil and wicked. You say, well, he's just being naughty. You got some of that stuff from Hollywood. That's a dirty word in the Bible. That word naughty, that naughty fig, it was, he said it was so naughty that they couldn't eat them because they were so distasteful. They were rotten. They were bitter tasting. And so when you look at this here in verse number 21, he says, you're going to have to lay aside that dirty and filthy and bitter attitude. This is the way God looks at it. This is the way God's looking at your attitude and your spirit. He said, that's not good. He said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Get rid of that. You say, well, now wait a minute. He's not going to ask you to do something that you do not have the choice and the power to do. This is a choice. He said, lay apart. You say, well, no. Stop making excuses. Lay apart all filthiness. Lay it apart. Lay it aside. Now, when he says receive with meekness, you know, when you talk about meekness, Brother Jerry, we're talking about Moses being the meekest man. Strong man, military man, powerful man, even killed a man. Strong man, great leader. But he chose to humble himself and receive what God had for him to say. And when you talk about meekness here, it's men and women, just like these four men that came up here. These men right here that were standing right here, and all four of them, they have made the choice to humble themselves, come to church, raise their family underneath the Word of God. They make those choices. Each one of them, their attitudes are tremendous. They love their family. They love their wife. They love their children. They love their pastor. They love their Bible. Some of these guys up here are my bodyguards. You mess with me, I promise you, they'll put a knot upside your head. Am I right, Brother Gary? Absolutely. All Brother Gary's got to do is just squeeze that hand of yours to where it's nothing. These are manly men, but I'm telling you, there's a meekness about them. You understand? There's a meekness about them. I remember one time, it's been about a month or so ago, Brother Brad asked us to go play golf with him, me and Brother Brian, Brother Brad, Brother Fabian. We really enjoyed the time of fellowship with the men. Really, it was great. And Brother Brad pulled his golf cart off of the concrete, off on the dirt, at one hole. And this who's supposed to be one of the marshals they have on golf courses, he come up to Brother Brad, and I'm talking about chewed him out about putting that golf cart off of that path. Now, we're talking about a soldier, a Marine. And this guy's up in his face chewing him out. And you know what? Brother Brad just took it. Apologized. Said, okay. Now that's meekness. And when we were talking a little bit later, he says that man really does not have any comprehension of what real violence is. Because that's nothing. That little thing right there, that's nothing in life. But he made a big deal about it because he was drunk on a little bit of authority that somebody gave him. His first name was Karen. Did you know a little bit later on I think it was hole number 18, we're on the concrete. He shows up in his cart path and he gets off the concrete to get around to us, and Brother Brad reminds him, hey man, don't be getting that cart off his concrete. But do you understand that meekness is required when it's not easy to receive? Meekness is not a problem when you like what you're being told. It is when you don't like what being... By the way, wouldn't you like to be able to set your watch or your clock or your phone and say, and it goes off on an alarm and says, okay, I feel like I can receive correction instruction right now. Somebody come give it to me. Wouldn't that be awesome? But it doesn't work that way. Because normally it's going to happen at a time of when you don't want it. And that's the real test of when it's hard to take. And so the Bible says here that God wants to help you today. This book is so powerful. It'll make you the best mother. It'll make you the best father. It'll make you the best husband. It'll make you the best wife, the best son, the best daughter. It will take you and completely rearrange the furniture in your house, meaning in your heart, in your life. And you got to allow it to become engrafted into you. That's why he goes on here. He says, look, lay this stuff apart. Listen to this. Look what he says. He says in verse number 22, listen, when you come to church, you should come with hope that your heavenly Father loves you and he's got a word for you. If I were to go to lunch with you, you were to invite me to lunch and I sat across the table from you and you would not speak to me at all, I'm thinking probably something's wrong here. Amen? Your heavenly Father has invited you, even challenged you and exhorted you to show up at his table every Sunday. And I promise you, he wants to speak to you more than you want to hear. Now watch. I know I say that a lot but you don't know how many hours I put into this, and I know how serious it is, and I know what it can do for you. So forgive me for being repetitive when I tell you, please pay attention to this. Because you're not looking at what I'm looking at. Because I can see people whose minds are wandering through their countenances. And then they'll be asking during the week, how do I deal with this? How can I handle this? When God was trying to help them in the house of God. Amen, Brother Roger. Now watch, look in verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. But if we can't get you to hear, you're certainly not going to do. But if we can get you to hear, and then do it. He says, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's like a mirror. God's word is like a mirror. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When you will not receive it and then do something with it, you won't remember it. But when you engage it and you act upon it, you are going to remember it. Look in verse 25. He says, listen, don't be a light bulb that won't shine, that has no battery and no power. He says, look in verse number 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, I love that phrase, your Bible is perfect. The perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Does God want to bless you? Oh, man, he does. God will bless the work of your hands. God will bless you, prosper you. God will help you if you would only come in here and know that during the week, the world, the devil, and the flesh have probably drained your battery just a little bit. Brother Johnny Esquiro gave me an electric lawnmower. I thought I'd never own one of those. But I'll be honest with you, I like it because I don't have to do this all the time to get it cranked. But there's pros and cons to that because sometimes when I'm out there mowing, it quits. But it's got a battery down in it. It's got three little signals on it, and it lets me know when it's getting low. And so I can take that battery out of that lawnmower and I can take it back into my shop where I have a charger and I slip it on there And I leave it on there for a little while, and that little red light turns to a yellow light, then it turns to a green light. I pull that thing out and I put it back in there, and man, I'm good to go. And some of you are so proud, do you think that you can run on your own strength? I need the house of God. I need the Word of God. I need God to speak to my heart. And you know what? I have found out that even when my batteries are at its lowest, when I get around some of you guys, man, it just charges me up. But I've been around a few too that's drained my battery, I'll be honest with you. But the house of God and the Word of God is like God taking your heart and your mind and putting you on that charger. And here's what he says here. God wants to bless you so that he can brighten you. This is not necessarily all for your sake, Brother Lorne. This is for his glory and for those people out there that have no light. If you always have the poochy lip, how are you going to encourage somebody to come to Christ? If you're always, always moody and always mad and always angry and always frustrated and always bitter, who wants what you have? He says in verse number 26, he said, now look at this now. And what he's saying here now is a very serious. Verse number 26 and number 27 is really, really serious. Because he's comparing vain religion to pure religion. Have you ever seen back in the old days, when I was just a boy, when they first came out with Christmas lights, they used to be pretty big, and you know, and if one of them sometime went out, it affected all of them. But you could get some once in a while where it would just be that one that would burn out. And it looks rather odd when you've got about 10 lights going around a circle and you got one that's not there, but it's on the tree. And when there is plenty of light in the room, you can't really tell. But when it gets dark and you plug them up, you can really tell. What am I saying that for? Because when it gets dark out there, and when it gets dark in your life, if there's any light in you at all, it's going to come through. If there is no light in you, it doesn't matter where you are, it's not coming through. Because there is no light in you. That you are not hooked up. You are a vain person with vain religion. You say, well, and then probably what you'll do is you'll get the whole cord down and you'll try to figure out what's wrong. All right, now watch. Here's what he says. Look in verse 26. There are three things that stand out that manifest light in a bulb for Christ. Verse number 26, that person will have a bridle on his tongue. Can you say amen right there? If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is what? Vain. Vain. Words reveal so much about our heart. Our tongue reveals so much about our heart. Verse 27, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. See, God cares for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, let me give you a very simple outline right here that will help you with this. Bulbs that are the brightest. Number one, they bridle their tongue. Number two, they have a burdened heart for other people. Number three, there is a brightness about them in an ungodly world. Look what he says. He says in verse 26, you will have a bridle on your tongue. A bridle on your tongue. Verse 27, pure religion, undefiled before God, that burden That's staying active and looking to be a help and a blessing to people who cannot return the favor. Even wealthy, lost entrepreneurs make sure that somebody's there to take a picture, because they want something in return, if it's nothing but to put up their image and to be magnified in that realm. But a person who is a true believer has a burden for those who cannot return, and they are investing in people who cannot repay them because they are doing it for the glory of God. Have you ever helped anybody that cannot? Jesus said sinners will help people who give stuff back. They will loan money if they know they're going to get it back. They'll be kind to somebody if they know that they'll get it in return. But you know what? I made up my mind. You can be unkind, you're not going to change me. I'm going to be kind with the help of God. And I'm going to keep myself unspotted from the world if I can. Now listen, doesn't mean that I don't get some dirt on me. And I can wash myself in the Word of God, in the blood of Christ. If I walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse me from all sin. What you want to do is not do some things that's going to damage your testimony. You do your very best not to spot that testimony if you can. Brother Brad, you have on a white shirt. I have on a white shirt. Can you imagine if I was up here with a white shirt, a white jacket, white pants, white socks, white shoes? You'd probably get up and leave, right? White tie. Okay? And I had one little ink spot right here on my shirt. Where's your eye going? To the spot. The world's always looking for an excuse to find fault with you. Don't give it to them. See, you're conscious of the fact that you're a light, and there's some things you should not do, participate, and get involved in because they're watching your light. And it can hurt your testimony. And that's why you got to be very careful where you are at work. God's put you there to be a bulb and a light. Don't participate in some things that will hurt your testimony. You might even have the liberty to do it, but you know you shouldn't do it because you know what they're going to think about it. Amen. And your testimony in that particular realm. So be very careful about that. I've got some white shirts that have some stains on them. And Cindy can wash them, and they're clean. But she can't get that spot out. So I don't wear them to church. I don't wear them with my suits. Or if I do, it's going to be a spot on the back, and you'll never see it. You know what I mean. But what I mean by that is that if you spot your testimony, it's hard for God to use you publicly. In other words, I can still use those shirts, like when I'm going fishing. I've worn some of my white shirts that I wear. Sometimes if it gets stained or got a mark on it, I'll wear it fishing because you're out in the sun, white shirt, it reflects the heat. It's cool. But it's got a stain on it. And everybody sees, what's that on your shirt? That's what they say. Did you know you had a spot on your shirt? That's what they'll say. They don't say, did you, Brother Roger, do you realize that 99% of your shirt is white? They don't say that. And then sinners don't either. They don't either. They see the dark, they see the spot. And so a light, I am a child of the King. And there are some things that I do that even natural people, hey look, you know, we're all human. But there are some things they can't get over. And they won't get over. I'm encouraging you. You need to brighten that light up. You have a Heavenly Father that loves you, who's provided for you, given you wonderful gifts, who hears you, who will help you. He's a faithful Father, and He loves you. He will supply to you through this book what you need to be an overcomer. so that you can be a bright light and let your light shine at home as bright as it does on the job. Let your light shine at home as bright as it does at work. Some of you are very careful about what you do at work, and you're careless when you walk in the front door of your home. And God says, man, I don't like that. Be a light in a dark place. When you go out of here, you're going into the mission field. Let God use you to minister to others, because your Father is the Father of lights. Do you belong to Him? Are you a light? Let me ask you about your tongue. Do you have a bridle on it? What about, do you care about anybody else besides yourself? Do you have a burden for anybody besides you? Are you careful with your actions and your attitude when you walk away from here and out of your house? Amen? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Brother Alan Jenkins said one time when he preached here, he said, God has His people everywhere. As God's children, you may find fault with your earthly father. You will find no fault with your heavenly Father. You will never be able to use your heavenly Father as an excuse. He has not failed you. He will not fail you. Let us not fail Him. Let us honor our Father who is in heaven. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, please. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray the Holy Ghost could use the Word of God to speak to some hearts. Lord, I pray You'd forgive me, Lord, where I failed You as a father, but also as a son and as a child of light. Lord, help our men and women to draw nigh to You, that You may draw nigh to them. In Jesus' name, amen. With our heads bowed.